Welcome to Becoming Your Greatest Possible Self. I am Chris Burns, America's number one motivational speaker for fiery inspiration and GPS coach for entrepreneurs and high achievers. Each episode, we interview leaders and great role models who make a massive impact in the world to help you master yourself, take courageous action, and make every day your best day ever. Ladies and gentlemen, this interview is brought to you by Burn Up Coaching and the 21 Day Challenge. If you're an entrepreneur or a high achiever, you're feeling stuck, overwhelmed, lost in your business, and you just want to get that clarity again, you want to reignite your passion, your self-belief so you can succeed like never before, the 21 Day Challenge is going to reignite you to achieve that goal. We're going to get clear on your goals, your long-term goals, your big dreams, break them down into bite-sized steps, dial in your daily habits and routines and rituals, and make sure that you're held accountable to those most important tasks and most important things to grow your business. And over the course of 21 days, you will accomplish those things, or you'll figure out what you can do to make sure that you have more success in your strategies in the future. That's the 21-day challenge. If you are ready to ignite that, send me a message, chris@beyourgps.com. Or find me on Facebook and let me know you're ready for your 21-day challenge. Looking forward to talking to you about it. Let's talk about the iTunes review of the week. It's by Unlimited Beliefs. And Unlimited Beliefs says, helpful, usable content. I love it. I really like this show. The content is so helpful because it's told through the story of the guest, which is relatable. And it's easy to plug in and use, as well as inspiring along the way. Tune in. Thanks so much, Unlimited Beliefs. We appreciate you. If you want to give us a review, go to beyourgps.com/iTunes, or you can search Becoming Your Greatest Possible Self on the iTunes store and find us like that. It's a really great way to get a hold of that. And thanks so much in advance for doing that, for supporting us to really help us grow, to help us know what is working, what can help us make the show even better in the future. Thanks so much in advance. I appreciate you. Next, we're going to be introducing this amazing human being, Amy. She's going to rock the house. And before I do that, make sure you have a pen and paper ready, because she's going to be giving you empowering wisdom to really create community, to create inclusion, to create empowerment of people who you might not normally think of that they need empowerment. People with disabilities, people who feel like they're misunderstood, people who are you know, not getting all the advantages or success naturally that some other people do. So she's going to be helping us to do that. And if you're an entrepreneur, you're a business owner, you're a high performer, you really need to know this. So have a pen and paper handy. Be ready to take those notes, because Amy is going to bring the heat. So let's introduce her and then we will bring her on, okay? So Amy, she's going to rock the house. Amy Ostrowski, she has extensive experience in the disability community from having a sister with a disability, being a special education teacher, and working in job placement. She has witnessed the struggle from both sides, the prospective employees as well as employers, and has seen the need for company-wide training and support in order to truly include people with disabilities in the workplace successfully. This led her to create a customized experience that helps businesses reach their diversity and inclusion goals while providing customized solutions and tangible results that are cost-effective and easy to implement. Imagine creating a work culture where people with disabilities are truly accepted and valued, and can help you grow your business by being exemplary employees who will stick with you through thick and thin and bring a unique perspective to all aspects of your business. She has seen it, and it is life-changing for both the employee and the company. And we're blessed to have her here with us today. Amy, are you ready to rock this? Ready to go. I love it. You're now live on Becoming Your Greatest Possible Self. Thank you so much for being here and sharing about your wisdom and, you know, really diverse background and what you've experienced. I know this is a pretty untouched topic, so to speak, in terms of becoming your greatest possible self, but it's definitely needed in our marketplace, in our society, and in the workplace. So thank you so much for taking it on and being here to share about it with our audience. I appreciate you. Awesome. So let's dive right in to the question of the day, which is how to make 2019 your best year ever. Amy, how are you making 2019 your best year ever? And what would you recommend to people to also make it their best year ever?
I think to make 2019, your best year ever. It's a really good year to think outside the box. There's a lot of changes going on in the world. And as much as we want to fit everyone into their perfect little boxes, I think it's time to see outside of that and to really stretch what we see as our norm and what is beneficial for ourselves, for our companies.
Yeah. Yeah. So thinking outside of the box, and what your experience has been is a lot of people are thinking within the box and they're not like living a fulfilling life. And these companies are not really growing as much as they could or being their best selves, so to speak, the best company that they could be, because they're thinking inside those boxes.
Absolutely. They're missing out on a lot of potential employees out there that have some great innovative ideas. Yeah. Missing out on clientele, your customers that can come spend their money for their wares or their services as well.
Wow. Beautiful. Beautiful, Amy. I love it. So let's dive into more about your stand for people with disabilities and what you're doing in these workplaces. Tell us more about that.
So my experience in the disability community, it has been my entire life. My sister has Down syndrome. So growing up, my parents didn't treat us any differently just because she had a disability. So we were both expected to, you know, go to school, get your good grades, get some higher education, do your chores, eventually move out of the house and live an independent life. So that's how I grew up, is, okay, this is my sister. She can do anything. I was very proud of her. I knew that it could take a little bit longer for her to do something than it might take me. I know that when she was 25, she finally learned how to tie her shoes. And until then, Velcro was a lifesaver.
That's right.
But she could learn it. And if someone just said, oh, you're never going to learn it, you're 10, just have Velcro for the rest of your life, she never would have learned that skill. But she could, you know, adapt it and then learned it. And so that's how I initially perceived people with disabilities was, okay, they're, you know, they just learn differently, might take a little, you know, some longer, some shorter time to learn something. And then I went out into the world and I saw that that is totally not what other people see. It starts in grade school, fitness special class. I can't tell you how many times my sister was told she had to be in a severely disabled class just because she has Down syndrome. And I've seen the fight that my parents had to go through to get her out of that. And I've seen that all the way through adults. And it's sad to me because I see people for who they are, not their disability in this case. I see it as a special ability, actually. They see the world in a different way. And so my whole life, I've been an advocate for people with disabilities, whether it be in the school setting or now in business setting. And I've seen the amazing things that they can do in their work. And it's they bring so much. They can help bring revenue, but they also bring a really good spirit with them. And you, you know, when you have good employees and you have a good morale, you've got productive people. And a lot of times when I'm talking to employers, there's a lot of, oh, I can't do that. They can't do this or they can't do this. And I always want to say, well, how do you know? Have you let them have a chance to try it? So just really breaking down those stereotypes, there's so many fears and stereotypes revolving around disabilities out there that I think it's really time to break that down and see what everyone can do instead of what they can't.
Yeah. You mentioned the attitude, they bring a good spirit with them. I'm just curious, from your perspective, would you say that most people with a disability are like cheery? Because I think that that's something that I've seen often, you know?
I think that that's true to a certain extent, but it's also kind of a misconception as well. Everyone's like, oh, you know, that person's always happy. I'm like, wow, you did not see them yesterday when something went wrong.
All right.
But I think they bring that unique perspective, because the really cool thing about people with disabilities, when they get jobs, it's not because they want the paycheck. And there's been a survey done, and the number one reason for wanting a job is to belong to their community. They want to be able to give back. That's the second thing on their list, is to give back. The third is the paycheck. So to be able to say, hey, I'm going to work. Yeah, they're going to be happier than probably most of us would, you know, because we're, a lot of people are like, I need the paycheck. Not necessarily, I am so excited to go because I belong and I can give back and I'm doing something other than, you know, sitting at home doing nothing or, you know, leading a less than exciting life.
Right. All right. Wow. That's amazing. So I want to hear a little bit more about your journey. What were some of the difficult parts in you and, you know, wisdom that you gained along the journey for you becoming this advocate that, you know, you have this clarity, you're able to empower these businesses. What was that like for you to be able to grow through some of those challenges?
It was challenging a lot of the times because I think when you have a certain perspective, it's hard to see and understand why someone has a different perspective.
Yeah.
So I had to really change my mindset that this person might not have ever had any type of experience with someone with a disability. So their whole idea of someone with disability regarding what that disability might be is very culturally biased.
Right.
And we all have cultural biases. And I'm not saying that that's bad, but it's something to be aware of. Yeah. And so it's working with people that have those biases or they've had a previous bad experience. I worked with one restaurant that did not want to hire our disabled clients because they had a bad experience prior and it ended up in a workman's comp claim. And I was like, you know, I understand that that's what happened and that's horrible, but I've got this extra support that's free to you. Let's try this out. And if it's not working, you know what? We can pull out. That's fine. And so by acknowledging to them, I get it. That was a really bad experience. And if that's your only experience, you have nothing else to go from. But let me show you a different way. And to this day, they're still working at that restaurant. And the manager was amazed about all the different things they could do other than rolling napkins and how they became part of the team. I mean, they celebrate birthdays together. When they walk in, the other staff members are like, hey, how's it going? And you can really feel the community there. And it actually grew within their, it's a chain restaurant that they opened another location here and they're hiring more clients because they've had such a great experience. So it went from that, oh my gosh, it cost us thousands of dollars in workman's comp to, oh my gosh, we have the supports that we need. And we learned about these people and it's been a great thing. So.
Wow. That's incredible. I love it, Amy. I love it. So, let's start diving into like what the foundation is that our workplace really needs to have. I know you're talking to me in the pre-interview call about, you know, how this plan is rolling out to have, you know, 7% of a company be, you know, disability, people with disabilities or people with, you know, special needs or whatever it might be. So can you tell us a little bit more about that, about standard?
Absolutely. There's a federal law out there and it's geared towards government contracted companies. So, you know, think aerospace, anyone that the government might contract with. And the federal law says that they want a plan in place by 2020, and they want to see you working on that plan to increase your disabled employee population up to 7%. Right now, there's not a lot of repercussions if you don't do it, because one of the challenges is there's a lot of people out there that have invisible disabilities that they could walk in the room and you would never know that they had a disability. And so they don't have to disclose it because it's not mandatory to disclose if you have a disability. And a lot of people don't for fear of not being hired, for being seen as different, you know, several other reasons. And so to really work with companies to say, hey, you know, there's this huge population out there that will self-identify because they come through nonprofits that help support the businesses. So if you really want to be that proactive, you know, trendsetter of, hey, we want to do this and we want to be the best in our industry, there is a really easy way of doing that. But it also takes training your management and your employees on how to work with someone with a disability because we want everyone to feel comfortable.
Right. Yeah. Wow. That's so, it's like the government contracted positions, those are, that's the most place it's going to happening. Is that the standard for government contracted or is it all businesses?
So right now that's the standard for government contractors. There's an overall, it's not a law, but understanding, and I know it's written somewhere in government websites that in general, you know, you have Americans with Disabilities Act, so you can't discriminate. And it's overall said, hey, you know, let's try to raise this because in case you didn't know, 20% of the United States has a disability. That's the size of the population of Canada, just to kind of put it in perspective. And so when you look at it, there's actually a huge untapped population out there of skilled workers that just aren't given the chance because they're different and they're different to interact with. And they might have, you know, different quirks that you're like, well, that's not the norm. Right. Normal's really boring. Let's all be unique.
That's right. What's some of the range of disabilities that are out there? Because 20%, that is like huge. I would have never imagined that. And I think most people are like, what? You know?
Definitely. There's six categories that the government defines. And that's anything from mental health. So that could be your anxiety, PTSD, any range of mental health concerns, all the way up to developmental delays and intellectual disabilities such as Down syndrome and autism, cerebral palsy, and everything that falls in between. So blind, deaf, and hard of hearing, just physical impairments. So there's a very, very wide range. Diabetes even falls into it. Wow. So, you know, medical conditions such as those as well. And it's really interesting because that's just the disabled population. And then if you think about it, those people have families. And a lot of times the families are caretaking, you know, their kids, their quote unquote kids, until the parents pass on, because that's, you know, they might not be able to live independently. So now you also have parents that are working, that are supporting someone with a disability, which gives them a unique perspective as well as circumstances because of having care for someone for so long.
Wow. So powerful. So in terms of like really building the community of this workforce and bringing it in, what would you recommend as where we start, so to speak, the foundation? We got an idea of there's government programs to help with this. A large percentage of the population does have disabilities. So it's not like there's any shortage of these people to people with disabilities. I'm going to say like these people, like, you know, but like there's that population, that portion of the population who is dealing with these things or falls into this category. So where do we really start? What's the foundation?
I really say don't start alone.
Okay.
Because it is really challenging if you've never had an experience mm-hmm. with people with disabilities, or you've only had experiences with certain disabilities, to figure out where to start, because it can be very daunting.
Okay.
And if you try it on your own, that's great. But I have seen it where it does not work out in the company's benefit, even though their heart's in the right place.
Right.
Was because I saw that gap that, you know, we have these companies that are like, oh, I want to do it because, you know, it's the right thing to do. And they go to implement, and then, you know, 6 months later, like, oh my gosh, it didn't work. We're done, throw it to the curb. And I think it really is important to have that support of someone that can come in and train your staff, and help you reach out to those organizations that can source the employees with disabilities. It's as easy as saying, hey, I want to source veterans because, you know, that's my passion, for whatever, you know, your reason is. It could be you have a spouse that's a veteran or family member. And having someone that can really say, okay, this is the organization in your area that we need to reach out to, and this is how to do it. Here's how we can tweak job descriptions, create new job descriptions, and that would be really available for whatever population you choose. So if you say, hey, I really want to hire people with developmental disabilities, okay, great. Let's look at the job descriptions and see how we can tweak it, because there are certain things that they might not be able to do. A lot of my clients cannot use a cash register. You don't want them handling money. You'll either be really, really rich at the end of the day or really poor, and I can't guarantee which way that will go. So you might want to pull that out of their job description, but they could probably do most of everything else. So it's really having someone that has the knowledge that can guide you through it and say, hey, you know, let's take this step next. What are your goals? Let's go by your business's goals and then accommodate it through that.
Yeah, powerful. And one thing I wanted to discuss is we have a lot of entrepreneurs and influencers, people building online businesses who tune into the audience here. I'm curious, what can they do to help out with this, or support or include people with disabilities in their team?
So entrepreneurs always have to, you know, as you get bigger, you get someone that maybe does your social media, or, you know, there's different jobs that you task out.
Yeah.
And if you're interested in hiring someone that has a disability, being able to reach out and say, okay, I'm looking for someone who can do general office work, you know, filing my bills, you know, scanning and stuff. If you're getting ready to do a presentation, making copies and everything, and, you know, reach out to someone like me that can help you out like that, or research nonprofits in your area that source people that have disabilities that want employment and work with it through them. There's paid internships through the state, which is a great way to, you know, try someone out. It's no money off your back, you're out of your pocket, and you can say, hey, so it's, you basically get paid to train them. And then if you say, great, they're amazing, you can hire them on. So there's a lot of options like that, and a lot of free accommodations out there too.
Wow, that's incredible. So you mentioned the first place to start is to don't try to do it alone. So, you know, reaching out to people like you. Tell us a little bit more about what you do specifically that helps businesses, you know, become acclimated to people with disabilities and integrate them into their team and the community.
So what I do is I work really hands-on with the companies and walk them through a process. So first we sit down and we identify the resources that they already have. Maybe they have great accommodations. Maybe they have already have some great trainings on disability etiquette that, you know, come through their HR department, you know, due to customer service and stuff like that. And we sit down and say, okay, these are the resources you have. Mm-hmm. And then we define what their goals are. So if they're like, hey, we want to increase our population, special needs population up to, you know, even if it's 5% or 1%, maybe they have nobody. Then we set goals that are really attainable because, you know, any business owner wants to set a goal, work towards it, and see that progress, you know, timeline and all. And so we'll say, okay, this is what we need to do. These are the resources. And then I sit down and help them build those trainings. And I do the trainings for the management and for every employee, you know, from top of the management all the way down. Because if you don't have everyone on board, it's not going to work. Someone's going to feel left out or uncomfortable.
Right.
And so really helping them create that culture and that open communication, because honestly, talking about disability is like having that elephant in the middle of the room that you just don't want to talk about. You know it's there, but you're afraid you're going to say something wrong, say something silly. And so just really build that in into the culture, saying, hey, this is a safe space. And this is what our goal is. We're, you know, going to hire people with disabilities, and here's the changes, and getting everyone's buy-in. And then training all those people, you know, in classroom trainings, hands-on trainings, changing those procedures. There's a different way to interview a person with a disability than a typical person. And so recruiters, we need to know that, and being able to work with them on that. And then assessing it, seeing the progress, and absolutely celebrating every success and tweaking whatever's not working to get it to that success and then celebrate it.
That's powerful. So what are some common objections or things that business owners or, let's say, HR departments might be having when integrating people with disabilities into their workplace?
So a lot of the fears are around what they can't do. And I always say, assume competence until proven otherwise. Because there's a saying out there, when you meet one person with autism, you've met one person with autism. Everyone's different. That can be the same for every single disability. When you've met one person with Down syndrome, you've met just one person with Down syndrome. So the fear of, oh, they can't do it, or they don't fit into our little box. Another one that I heard recently that I hadn't heard before was they're untouchables. So once you hire them, you can't fire them. Which is a total myth. If you document what's going on, you know, the trainings that you've given them, the accommodations you've given them, and it's still not working, which happens, sometimes it's not a good match, then you can, you know, let them go without repercussion of someone saying, oh, you fired me because I'm disabled. So, you know, putting those processes in for that as well. There's fear of them not being socially appropriate. And there's actually a really funny example of that. It's not one of mine. It's Randy Lewis, who started a huge inclusion type revolution at Walgreens. Walgreens is at 33% disabled employees in their department. And he's the one that spearheaded that. And he tells a story about a young man who worked in the production line. And every time something purple came across his table to put it into a box, he did like the purple dance and, you know, like, hey, yay, it's purple. And they're like, wow, that's like not socially appropriate. You know, what do we do? Do we fix it? You know, he can pack twice as fast as, you know, most of our people. So weighing, you know, the uncomfortableness of, hey, we have a purple song and dance, to, man, he's a really fast packer. And they talk to their employees about it, and they're like, if you let him go, you're going to have to go through me first. Like, you know, he's happy. It doesn't matter. It's not like he was yelling out expletives, you know, and even if he was, and that was part of his disability and he couldn't help it, it's the education of that. And that's what a lot of it boils down to, is that education. So, yeah. So those are some of the main fears.
That's awesome. So really, it's like people are afraid that once they bring in a person with a disability, they wouldn't be able to fire them for lack of performance and lack of, you know, sort of like getting in line, so to speak, with the culture and with adapting. They weren't able to adapt enough to the community and the business needs to make it a good fit. That's one of the big ones.
And I think part of the fear is them not knowing how to make it accessible to make those accommodations as well. So it's kind of a double whammy.
Wow. So as far as you know, really getting this message out, I'm curious, what's your big focus to share this message, and how are you getting it out to more people?
I'm just trying to get in front of as many businesses as I can to share my story. You know, share the story of me growing up with my sister. Mm-hmm. And just really bringing that kind of aha moment to them. Mm-hmm. One thing that I always mention is, if you consider disability a club, this club is not one that you join by choice. Mm-hmm. You join by circumstance. Mm-hmm. So at any given moment, any of us could join that club. We could walk out the door and trip and fall and hit our heads and have a brain injury. Yeah. We could get in a car accident. Mm-hmm. We could get significantly ill and some effects from that. So how would you want to be treated if you came back to the workforce after surviving an accident, surviving an illness? And how would you want to be treated? And so if you take the disability, like the other person, out of it and say, well, what if this happened to you? How would you feel about it? It really changes the dynamic and the perspective, because I know that if that happened to me, I want people to assume that I could do it. If I'm applying to a job, or be able to say, hey, we see what your talents are, let's tweak this job description to really make it work for you, because we could really use those, you know, awesome skills you have, even though you don't have these, you know, I don't know, five other skills.
What is your vision with this movement and getting in front of these businesses and sharing about this message? Like, what's your ultimate vision with it?
My ultimate vision is to really help companies put a plan in place that works. I've run into a few companies that they're like, oh yeah, you know, we have our plan, especially government contracted ones for 2020. You know, we've been going to resource fairs that cater towards people with disabilities looking for jobs. But you know, for the last 9 years we've been going, and we've been stuck at 3% disabled population in our company, you know, for that entire time. So I ask them, I'm like, well, what other, you know, you've gone to these job fairs and let me see the jobs that you're listing. Well, great, they're all listing engineer jobs and doctoral jobs. And I'm like, okay, you know, one in a million people with maybe autism have that skill,
right,
compared to everyone else. And so I love that they want to do it, but I really want to get out there and help people make a plan that you can actually do something with, that you can make that forward progress. And, you know, not just talk the talk, but walk the walk as well.
Yeah. I'm curious, like, what were some of the biggest lessons that you learned while you were, you said you were a teacher, right? You were teaching. What were some of those biggest lessons that you learned while you were teaching?
I've learned that the older a person is, the harder it is to change their opinion on people with disabilities. Things have changed so much. My sister's 39, so I've seen 39 years of her life, you know, from an education for someone with a disability starts pretty much when you hit the ground.
Yeah.
So I've seen her entire, you know, history of not only education, but work. And I've seen it change in that 39 years. Whereas, you know, 20 years ago, it was fighting to get her into a less restrictive class because she has the intellectual capability of doing higher stuff other than just life skills.
Right.
And I really see that I see it more with older business owners and managers that I work with and those that haven't really had any experience. And I saw the same thing in the classrooms. The younger teachers, because inclusion is a big thing, no matter how you look at it, in schools, in the community, in the workforce. And honestly, the disabled community is, been a biologist or something right. like that.
Right.
And then, you know, having her say, oh, well, yeah, you know, it's gotten me, you know, these benefits in life, you know, mm-hmm. or this unique perspective. So, yeah, just being able to have those conversations and also see where she sees things differently. Did you ever see the movie Inside Out?
Yes. Yes. Great movie.
So she had a really hard time expressing her feelings until she saw that movie.
Wow.
And she's like, you know what? When this happened, I felt like that red guy.
Wow.
Okay. She was angry. She just didn't know that that's what it was.
Wow.
Did I lose you?
Nope. Still here.
Okay, I might have lost you again.
Still here. Still there, yes. Amy? Can you hear me?
Yep. Okay. Now I can. Sorry. So, you know, she was able to relate and it gave me an idea of how other people might perceive emotions, things that we can't see, and how concrete she is in her thinking. So it, you know, helped me say, okay, if I'm going to describe this, I can't describe it in an abstract. And I used to say, well, you can't have your cake and eat it too. And her question is why? So, you know, just understanding how different people think and being able to say, okay, you know, if I'm going to say you can't have your cake and eat it too, I might just say, you know, you can't have it both ways. You have to choose one or the other type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are some of your role models you look up to in your pursuit of your own greatness?
My parents, for sure, because they set a goal early on in life, you know, with both my sister and I, of you guys will both move out and you will live independent lives and be successful. And, you know, I've seen how hard they help, you know, they work to help us reach those goals. There's so many people, parents in general. I really love watching parents that really push their kids. To me, that's very inspirational. Chantel Cecil Curran, I'm probably botching her last name, is a writer that writes about autism, and she's got a son who has autism, and to see how she has helped him become the successful artist that he is today, where everyone else was like, oh, he's not going to amount to anything because he is so unique and his mannerisms are so unique that, you know, people just went, oh, he's not going to amount to anything, and he's brilliant. So, anyone that pushes, you know, pushes the envelope and says, no, let's go to the next level.
It's amazing. What is something that really truly brings you alive in addition to helping people with disabilities? Is there anything else that like truly brings you alive?
Yep. Anything that has to do with the ocean, honestly.
I love your aqua. I love the aqua that you got on, turquoise, whatever color that is. I'm a guy. I don't know colors.
But totally me. Anything on the water, to me, that really grounds me. It's where I find my inspiration. I can relate anything to the water, you know, how it moves, how it'll put you in your place when you're not paying attention to it. But I'm a true Pisces in that sense. Yeah. My last life, I must've been a dolphin or a mermaid or something. because that's my place of Zen.
Yeah. So what, do you have any like rituals or habits that you use water or use the ocean to access, you know, these certain states or emotions or places of awareness or consciousness or thinking?
Walking on the beach is very meditative to me. Barefoot in the sand, I don't care if it's 50 degrees outside, my feet are going numb from the water. That's what the heater's for later.
Yep.
Sleeping is huge for me because you're out there, you know, on your board, alone but together. There's always people out there, but they're not necessarily talking with you.
Right.
And so having that time to just kind of be one with nature. I'm one of those people that has a really hard time calming my mind on ground. There I can sit there and let my mind totally be quiet. And then on the flip side of that, I also outrigger paddle, which is a team sport. And I really like that because it brings together a community that you have to be synchronized. And there's something magic about six people in a canoe that have to stay in time without talking to each other and just feel the boat. And when it works, it works. And when it doesn't, it really doesn't. But there's something about it that's very magical, especially when it's moving together, that you can just feel that connectedness between everybody.
Yeah. What's one of your life philosophies that you would want to teach an audience? And I'm inviting you because you mentioned earlier you want to practice storytelling. I want you to share a story that teaches us whatever the principle is. You don't have to tell us the principle, but just share us a story. Share with us a story that teaches that principle.
Okay. That's a good one. Okay, so this is actually a true story. I was working, and yes, a lot of my stories deal with people with special needs.
Yeah.
I've worked with several students and clients who have limited verbal skills, limited movement skills, and a lot of people have a hard time connecting with them. And kind of along the lines of, you know, how to quiet your mind and be present. It really amazes me when you can do that and you get rid of the words and you look at more of the actions and the nuances, how much communication can really, really happen. Mm. Where someone's like, well, how did you know that that person needed that or was trying to communicate, you know, this other thing, or, you know, how do you connect? And the best that I can answer is really to let go of the words, to just feel it and to let the other person lead and not try to control them or make them do what you want, but just to be with them, to be present and see what happens, because there are some really amazing things that can happen when you let that happen.
It's awesome.
I guess there's a world there, and I told it, but
I love it. Yeah, if I think the big thing, if I can make a recommendation, is awesome share, and it's to go back to a moment, you know, talk about a moment where that happened, you know, so you had a conversation, you were feeling this way, you saw this, and the person, you know, had these verbal cues that, like, but not auditory cues that you, verbal cues that you saw, but not auditory cues that you picked up on the verbal stuff, and that allowed you to create that intimacy and, you know, just like bring us to that moment. Super powerful.
Got it. I like that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. Whenever you can say, okay, so we're talking about this right now. And, you know, once upon a time, I'm walking down the street and I see this blue, you know, ice cream cone and blah, blah, blah. You know, like, use colors, use smells, use sensations, all of it. It's a lot of fun, but just wanted to share that with you. It's awesome.
I appreciate that. Next time I will be able to work on that one.
Yes,
for sure.
Yes, I'm excited for it. You're going to come back later next year, 2019, and you're going to talk about all the growth in your company impacting so many people with disabilities and getting them into workplaces and working with the workplaces and businesses. And for people who are tuning in, they want to know how they can continue their journey with you, how they can find out more, and how they can keep growing, and especially for the businesses, and they want to make a dent in this specific area. How do they do that, Amy?
So the easiest way is to go to my website, which is www.sesadvocacy.com. Mm-hmm. SES stands for Strategic Employment Solutions. And there's a button right there, or you can also just fill in the blanks of, hey, I want to talk to you, and we'll set up a conversation, you know, right away. And, you know, just have a conversation of, you know, what the challenges are that you're having, you know, what your goals are, what you're inspired by. I did a talk recently that they're like, oh my gosh, I never thought of this. And there was so much inspiration. It was palpable. It was amazing. And so to just open up that conversation and you know, see where it goes from there.
Yeah. Amazing. I love it. And then like when they have a conversation with you, what can they expect will happen in that kind of a conversation?
That we'll definitely, you know, identify the challenges that are out there, mm-hmm. and, you know, come up with, hey, you know, is this feasible for, you know, your situation?
Yeah.
And then create next steps of, you know, where do you want to go from here? And how can I help you reach those goals? Because that's ultimately what I want to do. How can I connect you? What do you need, you know, to learn that I can help you with?
Yeah.
And, you know, go on a trip together, basically, of, you know, down the road of change and, yes. you know, make some awesome things happen.
Embark on the journey. Do it. If you're listening right now, if you're watching, continue that journey with Amy. Have a conversation with her. Go to sesadvocacy.com or, you know, connect with her on Facebook. And Amy, you're an absolute pleasure to have on. Thank you for what you're doing in the world and just the big heart that you have and connecting people and connecting with people on a human level and teaching us how to do the same thing for you know, people who may not have that awareness, may have been programmed by society to think and feel and show up in certain ways. And you're really just giving us access to a different perspective, which, you know, your sister did for you as well. So thanks for passing along the gift that you received.
Well, thank you for having me tonight. It was great.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Amy. This is just the beginning for you. I know it. So keep up the great work and we will see you very soon. Okay.
That's great. You have a great evening.
Awesome. Take care. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for tuning in. Right now, we've reached the end of this episode, but this is the start of a whole new beginning. Each and every moment, you have an opportunity to rewrite your story. Right here, right now, decide and commit who you are going to be. Think about how you will use these ideas, wisdom, and inspiration to make the difference in your life. What actions will you take today and every day to step into your greatest possible self? Again, a big shout out to our sponsor, EmployeeEscapePlan.com. If you're committed to learning how to truly harness your abilities and passions to serve the people who are hungry and desperate for what you have to offer, make a great income off of your genius, or if you're ready to get more clients to pay you more money, head over to www.employeeescapeplan.com and let Joe know you were sent by Chris. Did you enjoy this episode? Let your friends know about it. Share the website beyourgps.com and send me some love on social media. If you want to clarify your vision, uncover blind spots, get more energy, tap into your flow, and take massive action, head over to beyourgps.com/coaching to schedule some time into my calendar. Now, master yourself, create your reality, and make every day your best day ever.